The following content is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, enjoy articles to help you improve your green thumb. And now, here's NCRS volunteer Cindy Fowler.
And we'll start with the Raleigh News and Observer, but with Nancy Brakey. Flowering trees brighten the spring landscape. When the Yoshino cherries and red buds bloom in sync, life is beautiful. Throw in a Chinese snowball and it gets even better. These three are among the brightest stars of the early spring landscape in the Piedmont. Easy to grow, prolific in bloom, and distinctive in appearance, they make worthy additions to a home landscape. Yoshino cherry is among the most admired and popularly planted trees, thanks to the cloud of pink to white blooms in early spring. Of medium size, it tends to mature at 20 to 40 feet tall and spread 20 feet or more over time. The roundish canopy is broad and dense, with leaves opening as the flowers fade in April. This can be the stop traffic specimen of your front yard, so give it space in full sun or part shade to develop and allow the cloud of flowers room to be seen and enjoyed. The second star, Eastern Redbud, looks beautiful when planted near the Yoshino because they have roughly the same bloom time, with the redbud usually opening first. It is a distinctive medium tree, reaching 30 feet. Flowers tend to be dark pink to purple, and a white-flowered variety named Alba exists. The limbs spread broadly, and the magenta blooms open in profusion before the heart-shaped leaves emerge. Eastern Redbud is a native from northern Florida to Canada. Two named varieties, Forest Pansy and Oklahoma, have enjoyed great popularity in recent years. Forest Pansy is especially valued for the wine red foliage, Oklahoma for the wine red flowers. Many more are in the marketplace. Red buds will take partial shade, especially in hot climates like the Piedmont. Because it will take some shade, it works well as an understory tree below oaks and other large trees. The larger foliage of a redbud is a nice contrast to the small leaves of most of the big shade trees. The third member of this trio is Chinese snowball, which in April is a real traffic stopper. A tall, deciduous shrub that can reach 15 feet, the Chinese snowball produces big, round blooms that start out with a fresh, lime green color and then mature to a pure white. A well-grown snowball with some size to it produces dozens and dozens of globes of these fantastic blooms. The globes can be 6 inches in diameter, an impressive sight in the landscape. Flower arrangers love cuttings of these blooms. New foliage follows the blooms, but this plant is sort of anonymous for much of the year. But it causes no problems, and it deserves a good spot so that the great show can be enjoyed, roughly from late March to late April. It is also good for sun or part shade. Now from HGTV's Weekend Gardener e-newsletter. Lazy gardener alert! 10 gorgeous shrubs that do not need pruning, by Julie Martins Forney. If no pruning sounds good to you, check out these low-maintenance dwarf gems. Yucai cherry blossom dutsa. Elegant pink blossoms blanket Yucai cherry blossom dutsa in spring, transforming this rounded shrub into a hummingbird magnet. Deer-resistant dutsa grows 12 to 24 inches tall and wide. Use it as a ground cover, a slope stabilizer, or pathway edging. Show off Starlet Forsythia. Welcome spring with the classic sunny blooms of Forsythia, but in an updated dwarf package. Show off Starlet's branches are smothered in bright yellow blossoms. Like all Forsythia, this dwarf version is deer resistant, growing 2 to 3 feet tall and wide. Dark Horse Regia. Dark bronze leaves paired with purplish pink spring blooms give Dark Horse Weigela Florida head-turning good looks. Flowers beckon hummingbirds to plants that grow 36 inches tall and wide. This small Weigela is versatile in the landscape. Use it as a short hedge, accent plant, or mass planting. Tiny Wine Ninebark. Bronze maroon leaves give Tiny Wine Ninebark standout color that holds its own in mixed shrub borders or perennial beds. Flowers appear in late spring. This native plant grows 3 to 5 feet high and 3 to 4 feet wide. Superstar Spiria. Showy pink flowers appear on first edition's Superstar Spiria from late spring through late summer. Flowers beckon bees and butterflies, while the plant itself is deer resistant. New leaves emerge scarlet, shift to green in summer, and deepen to bronze in fall. Grows 2 to 3 feet high and 3 to 4 feet wide. Blue Chip Junior Butterfly Bush. If you think you know Butterfly Bush, think again. Blue Chip Junior has outstanding qualities, including fragrance and continuous blooming without deadheading. It's also non-invasive and drought-tolerant. Of course, it also attracts butterflies by the dozens. It grows to a tidy 18 to 30 inches tall and wide, a perfect size for edging a bed or walkway. Called summer lilac in Oregon and Washington, where it is approved for sale. Crystallina Summer Sweet. Crank up the midsummer garden with the sweetly fragrant blooms of Crystallina Summer Sweet. A native shrub, Summer Sweet attracts all kinds of butterflies, including butterflies. Plants are deer resistant, and unlike the true native Clethra, Crystallina does not sucker and take over the yard. This perfumed beauty grows 30 to 36 inches tall and wide. Lemon Meringue Potentilla. Lemon Meringue Potentilla is a flower powerhouse, unfurling yellow, rose-like blooms all summer long. Butterflies cannot resist the plant, along with other pollinators. Small, round plants are drought-tolerant once established and deer-resistant. Grows 2 to 3 feet tall and wide. It's hardy in zones 2 through 6. Bobo Panicle Hydrangea. For sunny spots, the right hydrangea to grow is Panicle Hydrangea. Bobo opens classic full-size hydrangea blossoms on a dwarf plant that grows 36 inches tall and 36 to 48 inches wide. Flowers turn pink as they age. And Blue Balloon Bluebeard. Deep blue blooms cover Blue Balloon Bluebeard from early summer through fall. Flowers beckon all kinds of pollinators, making Blue Balloon a great addition to a wildlife garden. Deer-resistant, drought-tolerant plants grow 30 inches tall and 24 inches wide. And now from the Piedmont Extension Gardener. Smart Gardening, Drought-Tolerant Plants for North Carolina Gardens by Phyllis Baker Smith. Although succulents such as prickly pear cacti are native to North Carolina, other plants are adapted to cope with dry conditions in different ways, providing the potential for drought-tolerant gardens with a diversity of textures, shapes, and colors. One adaptation is the production of fine hairs that reflect sunlight and protect leaves from the wind's drying effects. Fine hairs often bestow a silvery appearance that creates a pleasing contrast with more colorful neighbors. Examples include lamb's ear, which lives up to its namesake with velvety leaves, and Russian sage, which produces spikes of lavender flowers from late spring through autumn. Other plants conserve water with waxy coatings and thick leaves. Most hollies prefer moist soil, but the Ilex genus includes over 1,000 cultivars, including varieties that stand up to drought. Predominantly evergreens, hollies are also able to tolerate severe cold, a condition synonymous with drought because water is unavailable when it takes the form of ice. Junipers, pines, and spruces have taken this adaptation one step further with needle-like leaves to minimize transpiration. The development of taproots provides yet another survival mechanism. Deep root systems are better than shallow roots at storing water. Coneflowers and butterfly weeds are good examples, along with a host of other flowering perennials. Drought-tolerant plants may require watering for several years after planting, but once established, they will provide years of low-maintenance beauty. Because North Carolina Piedmont weather varies widely, and droughts are part of the cycle, it pays to be prepared. And now, Sustainability, Beneficial Insects by Hannah Smith. Often when we see an insect, especially if it's on one of our plants, we automatically assume that it is going to eat our entire plant, and we will be left with little or nothing to show for all our hard work. Although there are some bad bugs out there, most insects, about 99%, are either harmless or are actually beneficial. These good guys, such as lady beetles, assassin bugs, and wasps, are considered natural enemies to pest insects. By feeding on pests, these natural enemies can provide a natural approach to pest control. If we create environments that encourage populations of these beneficial insects, then we have a leg up on the bad guys. This practice reduces the amount of insecticides that we must use to keep our plants healthy and is one step in integrated pest management, IPM. Along with other techniques that are part of IPM, we can use beneficials to manage pests in an economically viable and environmentally sound way. Chemicals from insecticides can leak into and pollute water resources, especially when not applied properly. Insecticides can be costly as well. Another part of IPM is knowing the economic threshold, the amount of damage or insects present that you can tolerate before preventative measures must be taken, such as using chemicals. Encouraging beneficial insects in your garden can help keep pests in check and keep them below the economic threshold. Now from the Triangle Gardener magazine, Foodscaping Simplified. Just plant an edge. Who doesn't want to enjoy a freshly harvested garden-to-table meal? It is truly one of life's greatest pleasures and one of the major bonuses of growing a foodscape. The idea is simple. Add purpose to your landscape by incorporating your favorite food crops into easy-to-manage areas. From simple crops like garlic to low-maintenance edibles such as radish and lettuce, bed edges are an opportunity waiting to be planted. This idea is not new. Planting food crops in convenient locations goes back centuries, from cottage gardens and French pottage to the edible landscapes described by Rosalind Creasy. Foodscaping is just a modern term for a logical and easy way to grow meaningful amounts of food in the spaces you have already cultivated. Start by thinking outside the box. Lumber-encased beds are not the only way to grow food. In fact, raised beds are generally the cause for the "no food in the front yard" mantra of suburban HOA restrictive covenants. Containing edibles also limits available square footage and creates monocultures. By incorporating popular annual crops like tomatoes, peppers, kale, and chard directly into the landscape, you will add brilliant colors and textures that blend beauty and abundant harvest. The ornamental plants offer the biological diversity to attract beneficial insects. Focus on developing the sunniest areas of your landscape, as most edibles prefer bright exposure. Did you know that only 4 plant families make up the lion's share of the edibles grown by home gardeners? The top 4 plant families for grown edibles are Amaranthaceae, beets, quinoa, spinach, and Swiss chard. Brassicae, cool season crops such as broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and kale. Fabaceae, beans, peas, and peanuts. Solanaceae, warm season crops like eggplant, peppers, potatoes, and tomatoes. You can start foodscaping by planting the edges of your garden landscaping. You will be amazed by how much square footage is available. Bed edges are a great place to grow low-maintenance plants such as arugula, basil, garlic, lettuce, peanuts, and potatoes. This location is easy to access for watering and harvesting and really makes a visual impact. I had a professor in college explain that any combination of plants could make sense with a tidy edge. That advice continues to inspire me as I look for strategies to increase local food production. My top picks for bed edge plantings range from traditional southern agriculture crops like peanuts to hardy greens that self-sow, such as arugula. Many edibles are effective at deterring grazing mammals, so consider plants like garlic that will help ward off moles and voles, or micret basil, which has a strong, bitter flavor that bunnies hate. Most importantly, be creative in your plantings and change them seasonally so they look beautiful all year round. Ultimately, the goal of foodscaping is to show the vast opportunities that existing landscapes offer, from reducing your food miles and carbon footprint to eliminating food deserts in every community, incorporating edibles in traditional ornamental landscapes is an easy way to contribute to the world in a meaningful way. As a professional horticulturalist, I strive to meet the needs of a growing population and focus on ways to extend the relevance of gardening in the modern American society. I am proud to see plants being recognized for all of the attributes they represent: beauty, ecology, health, wellness, nutrition, and lifestyle. Foodscaping is a design technique that embraces the heritage of home gardening while developing a new level of sophistication for modern-day living. Join the foodscape revolution and harness the sun, soil, and irrigation systems of the everyday landscape. Start using your growing skills to nourish your family, community, and environment. That article was by Bree Arthur. Critter-proof your crops. No plant is completely mammal-resistant, but here are a few edibles that resist browsing damage from deer, rabbits, moles, and voles. Cool Season Edge, arugula, bitter flavor, deters rabbits. Garlic, smelly bulb, deters moles, voles, and deer. Onion, smelly bulb, deters moles and voles. Potatoes, Silencia plant foliage is poisonous, which helps deter deer and rabbits. Warm Season Edge, basil, bitter flavor, deters rabbits and deer. Dwarf peppers, Solanacea plant foliage is poisonous, which helps deter deer and rabbits. This article is titled, Grow Salad in a Pot. These are our salad days. Plant a living salad bowl chock full of ruffled lettuce, tender arugula, and other delicious greens, and you'll be able to pick a healthy harvest for the dinner table for months. Lettuce is easy to grow in pots, and a bowl full of lettuce plants is pretty enough for the front porch. Salad greens of all kinds flourish in unpredictable spring and early summer temperatures without special care. Half a dozen plants in a pot, or more because they don't mind being crowded, will produce salad greens all through the spring. If you plant edible flowers, such as violas, pansies, or pinks among the lettuce plants, you'll enjoy a spot of color both in the container and in the salads you put on the table. It's fun to grow garden crops from seed, but to get your salad pots off to a fast start, plant transplants, available in 6-packs at garden shops. Look for healthy, bright green plants that stand up strong and tall in their little cells of soil. Some lettuces, such as red leaf and red romaine, are either all red or tipped with red. They add color and contrast to the planting. Plant them side by side with green lettuces, and they'll look appetizing just growing together. The fancy, frilly leaves of arugula, mizuna, kale, or mustard greens will contribute interesting textures to your planting and add spice to your salads. Any container with drainage holes will make a fine vessel for your living salad, but a large bowl, wider than tall, is an especially good choice. Lettuce plants will only be growing for a couple of months until they turn bitter in hot summer temperatures, so you do not need a deep planter. A bowl about 12 inches across, sometimes called a color bowl at garden shops, is a good size to start with. It will hold about 8 small plants. A larger bowl, 18 inches across, will look more impressive. It will hold about 15 plants. Buy a fresh bag of potting soil and fill the container to the rim. Potting soil is lightweight and drains well. Most potting soils today include a slow-release fertilizer, so there's no need to add more. Take the plants out of their cell packs and arrange them on top of the potting soil in the bowl. Normally, you would plant the tallest plants in the center or at the back of a flower pot, but lettuce plants all grow to about the same height, so arrange the planting however you like to take advantage of their leaf shapes, colors, and textures. A pretty design might have green lettuce plants around the outside of the container, with a flourish of red leaf lettuces in the center, and a couple of pansies or viola for color. If you're growing romaine, set these compact plants in the center of the dish and arrange ruffled leaf lettuces around the sides, like a frilly petticoat. You can experiment with the design, trying different kinds of lettuces, or adding more flowers until you're happy with the way it looks. Now loosen the roots of each plant with your fingers and tuck them into the potting soil with the crown of the plant at soil level. Firm the soil in around each plant as you go. Potting soil tends to settle a bit even as you're planting, so you may need to add more as you work. Just make sure the plants are not too deep in the pot. Now, water well to moisten the potting soil and to settle the plants in. Don't worry if the splashing water pushes the plants over slightly. They'll stand up again within a few hours. If some of the leaves are a bit floppy, snip them off with scissors for your first salad. After the pot has drained thoroughly, move it to the porch, a patio, or a bright spot near the kitchen door. Sunshine is the only requirement. If you plant several pots, let them march up the front stairs. Salad pots also look great on a patio table or on a garden wall. Try raising them up by putting the pots on upside-down flower pots and chimney flue tiles or a stack of inexpensive concrete pavers. Within a few days, you will be able to pick your first real harvest. Trim the leaves from the outsides of the plants with sharp shears, and the plants will continue to produce new leaves from the center. Trimming actually encourages growth. So picking a few leaves every day or so will make your salad garden even more productive. Water the plot when the soil feels dry. Poke a finger a couple of inches into the potting soil. From just one pot, you can count on harvesting fresh-picked salad greens for at least 2 months. It's a nice trick, a treat for your table, and a feast for your eyes.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Out in the Garden on the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.